Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Of course, Paul's speaking to Christians, to believers, and he says this to them, "And you hath he," that's Jesus Christ, "hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now abideth in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And let's pray and we'll launch into it here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to once again open your word and turn the pages of Scripture and share with your people the precious truths that you have here for us. I pray that you'll help us. Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I speak. Give me clarity of thought and mind and speech. And Lord, we pray that we'll go away this evening with a good understanding. Pray that we'll go away this evening very thankful for what you've done for us. We'll certainly thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll start in verse 1 here once again. I just want to point out that word, "you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And in a minute we're going to go through this chapter and we're basically going to see three things. What we once were, who we are now, how we got that way, and what we will yet be. And we see all three things in this chapter laid out for us. It's a very great chapter. I was talking to Brother Paul yesterday as we were bus calling together, and we were talking about Exodus, and I mentioned that Exodus is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If I had to name a favorite chapter in the Bible, and that would be a little harder because there's a lot of good chapters in this book of ours, but I certainly love Ephesians chapter 2. And for many reasons, what we'll see this evening is the truth that God gives us here about what we once were, what we are now, and what we're yet to be. And so I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. But as we look at verse 1, Paul uses this word, quickened. Quickened. And I'm sure by now, over the years, many of you have been saved for some years, you've probably heard some preaching along those lines, or at least a definition, somewhat of a definition brought about what the word quicken means. Many would just simply say to be made alive or brought to life. But some other things I looked up would be this: cause to live, to make alive, which we probably would have heard that before. This one's interesting: to arouse or invigorate by spiritual power. To arouse or invigorate by spiritual power. And then this one, to restore to life. To restore to life. Now, before we get into too far into this chapter, I want us to go back to John chapter 3. So hold your place there. Let me use that for a bookmark. Go with me to John chapter 3. As you know, there's various terminologies that we use when it comes to this idea of being saved. We can use the word saved. We can use the word redeemed. We can use the word quickened even. But another phrase that we sometimes don't use as much perhaps, but it's the words born again. We're born again. And what exactly does it mean to be born again? Now, again, many of you have been saved for some time. Obviously, you know what it means to be born again, but I want to kind of illustrate it visually to you, to explain it, because this is what Paul is speaking about over in chapter 4 when he says, look, you and I, you were once dead in trespasses and sins. But he tells us that God hath quickened you. And I want us to see what that entails. I want to try to show it to you visually. So I would like to see if I could borrow Natalie and Timmy. Please. Natalie and Timmy. And I need a third person, actually. So, Caleb, you want to help out? Okay. So stand up here on the platform. Come on, Tim. And I want you all to stand. This is good because they're all stair-stepping here. So Caleb's in the back, and Natalie's in the middle, and Timmy's in the front. Okay? Doing a good job already. Let's give him a big hand. Amen. All right, now. We'll try not to get too theological, but basically, if we remember what Genesis tells us, that God created man let us create man in our image. And there's many things that means, but one of the things I believe that means is this, is that there's God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So just like there's three, I believe he created man as a three-part being. And so what are those three parts? Well, we have the body, the soul, and the what? The spirit, right. The body, soul, and the spirit. So each person who's ever born has this three-part, there are three parts, just like we see illustrated here. The problem is the natural man, and of course every man is born this way until they're born again, every man has the body, that's the house of everything, that's the part we see, that's the part we can touch, that's the house of it all, so to speak. The soul is that part of me that's communicating with you right now, and it's the part of you that's understanding me. That's our souls are communicating. Without the soul, what do we have? Dead body. When we go to a funeral, we see a body lying in a casket. It's just lifeless. It's no longer animated. It's just a body. What happened? The soul is gone. And so the soul is that, it's that mind, the intellect, the heart. The Bible uses different words. Heart, mind, etc., is that part that can communicate. And then the spirit is the part that gives us the connection to God. Now, the natural man, here's the problem. The natural man, even though this may be here, it is dead. So, Timmy, I need you to act like you're dead, like this. Just like this. Oh, well. Yeah, that's okay. I didn't expect that. But he's quite an actor. Okay, amen. All right, so you can stay there. It doesn't matter. Or you can sit there. You can lay there. It's okay. So here we have a picture of the natural man. This is you. This is me before salvation. Yes, we have a body. Yes, we have a soul. Yes, even we have a spirit, but it's dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now, Jesus said, let's read what he said here in John chapter 3. Timmy, just hold it there, buddy. Natalie, you stand up. Look at John chapter 3, a very familiar passage because this is the story of Nicodemus coming by night to talk to Jesus. But Jesus makes this astounding statement in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is perplexed by this statement. In verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. By the way, water, the natural birth, the physical birth, and of the Spirit, he said, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then verse 7, he just puts it very plainly, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, every person in the entire world, doesn't matter what they think, what their opinion is, and we kind of alluded to it this morning in the Sunday school, we mustn't compromise on the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way a person can get to heaven is to be born again. Now, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and Paul said, look, you hath he quickened. That means this. When this individual This is one person here. When this individual says, yes, I understand I'm a sinner, and yes, I understand that my sin would put a penalty on me, and that penalty is hell, but yes, I realize that Jesus Christ died for me, and that if I receive the gift of eternal life freely, accept what he's done for me, nothing I can do, he's done it all, I accept that and receive him. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the what? Sons of God. Then he says, yes, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. At that moment, Timmy. That was a little slow. I mean, when the Spirit of God quickens you, boom, it happens. Bam. Let's try that again. Okay? So when he says, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior, boom! Yeah, amen, he's saved. So now we have this individual, still have the same body, same soul, and a quickened spirit. Guess what just happened? Now you have the ability to have a connection to God through his Holy Spirit. The connection was not there before because you were dead. Yeah, oh. All right, so let's give our actors a good hand here. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. That was quick and simple, but that's, if you could visualize, what does it mean to be born again? Well, that would be it. We all have these three parts of us, the body, soul, and the spirit. We're born with a dead spirit. We have no way of having a connection to God. We must be quickened, and so we're born again. John tells us here Jesus tells us in John that we must be born again if we're to enter into the kingdom of God. So back to Ephesians 2 then. Now we kind of have an understanding. What does it mean to be quickened? We sort of had a visual here now. What that means when Timmy jumped to his feet, boom, he was quickened by the Spirit of God. And I could just stop right there and say, praise the Lord for that in my life. Let's have a closing prayer and go home, because that is awesome. We need to thank God every single day for that, that he quickened my spirit, that I was dead. I have no way of understanding the scripture because I was spiritually discerned. I was a natural man, and so were you. Natural man, dead in trespasses and sins, unable to understand the scripture, unable to communicate with God. And when we're quickened, when we're born again, all that changes. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good stuff. So let's work through here. Now, I wanted to show you these three things. What I was, what I am now, what I'm yet to be. So let's read again. The first one, what I was or what we were, because I'll include all of us, this was our state, all of us, before salvation. He says, we were dead, verse 1, the second part, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye, or we, I could say, walked according to the course of this world. Now this is an unsaved person. This is how we were when Timmy was lying down. This was our life. According to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Boy, isn't our world filled with that? Children of disobedience, children of wrath. Among whom also we had our conversations in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Get this, and were by what? Nature. It was natural for us. It was the natural man. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. I'm glad that God butts in on verse 4. But God. Amen? But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, he says it again, together with Christ, by grace are you saved. And I want to stop right there because I'm almost getting into the second part though. But what I was before I was saved, well, Paul gives it just spot on. He doesn't mince any words, he just tells it like it is. He says, look, we walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Who was that? Satan. We walked after our own fleshly lusts. We wanted to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We were by nature the children of disobedience. This is how I was before I was saved and how you were. And thank God that when we're quickened, this new spirit, this Holy Spirit, God's presence comes into us. I guess if there's anything sad about that, it's the fact that this old nature is not eradicated. It's still there. Now, I still have the potential, sad to say, to walk after the course of this world. I still have the potential to lust in my flesh. I still have the potential to want to fulfill what my flesh wants. And I want to propose to you tonight that if that were to be the case, that would be evil. Because Paul tells us here plainly that we walk after the course of this world, after the course of the prince of the power of air, Satan himself, children of disobedience. And so even Paul in Romans 7 describes this struggle between the new man and the old man. And to give in to the old man, for me to go back to that old way, to give in to my flesh and start living after the flesh, I believe would be evil on my part. Because I would be living like a natural man. And I'm not a natural man anymore. I'm a spiritual man. But spiritual men can live like natural men, unfortunately. And so it's so important to walk in the Spirit. That would be, a lesson that we would want to draw out of that. But that's who we were in time past. Now you say, boy, I don't know if I was like that. You know, my son could probably say that because, boy, Caleb has grown up in a Christian home. He's not been a child of wrath necessarily, though as an unsaved person, he would be. But you know, get my point. He's not experienced any crazy sin necessarily. I remember I've told you this story. I was witnessing to a lady, an elderly lady, 80 something she was. And, when it came time to pray the prayer to be saved, I said, you know, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? Yeah, sure. After we went through the whole presentation. And I said, so we closed our eyes and back then I would do the repeat after me kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't do that exactly that way now. I kind of have the individual pray their own prayer so I can gauge their understanding. And then I'll have another prayer right after that I'll kind of lead them. So I said, Dear Jesus. And she said, Dear Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. This was the kicker. And I know I deserve hell. And she goes, now wait a minute. I don't know about that. I said, well, hold on here. Let's go back and review. So I went back and showed her all the verses, reviewed that point once again. And do you understand? Yeah. Okay. So we come to the prayer again and same thing. I know I deserve hell. And boy, she just couldn't say those words. She said, I just don't know about that. I'm not going to say that. I don't think I'm that bad. And it was so sad. I had to walk away and, not see that lady saved just because of that. And it's so important that they understand that yes, we are that bad. And my point is this, you know, I don't know how you grew up. But we were all lost at some point. We're born that way. We're not born Christians, you know, contrary to what the world thinks. We live in America, we must be Christian. Or I grew up in my mom and dad go to church, so I must be a Christian. No. There has to be that personal acceptance of Christ for yourself based upon the premise that you are a sinner. And varying degrees of sin, and that was my point, I guess, that some grew up not living a crazy, wild, sinful life, still sinners. Sinner by nature, sinners by choice. And yes, there's varying degrees of sin, I suppose, but if we were to revert back to any fulfillment of the flesh, desires of the flesh, I think that would be evil on our part, and we need to steer clear of that. So Paul lays out what we used to be. Now, moving into the next one, who we are now. And we'll pick that up in verse 4 again, because he says, But God, who is rich in mercy... Aren't you glad God's rich in mercy? Man, he doesn't have a shortage of mercy. He's rich. Rich in mercy. I like that phrase. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now I'm starting to get a picture of who I am now. I was once lost. I had a dead spirit, as we illustrated. I walked after the course of this world. I walked after the prince of the power of the air. I followed after my fleshly desires, and I tried to fulfill those desires. But now, because of the rich mercy of God, of Jesus Christ, he quickened me, and now I'm a living, my spirit is living, it's quickened, it's brought back to life. I can now have a connection, a vertical connection, a connection with God. But get this, I'm connected to Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Look at the verse again. We were dead in sins. He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Watch it now. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now God sees me here on earth tonight, but he can just as easily see me in heaven as well. Because I like how preacher said it the other day, God doesn't look in the past or the future. He just looks at it all at the same time. So God sees me standing here tonight sharing the word with you, but he also sees me sitting in heavenly places with none other than Jesus Christ, my Lord. I don't know what that does for you, but that just gives me goosebumps. That excites me. I start to get an understanding of what my salvation is all about and how precious it is to me. And I begin to get an understanding of my standing in Jesus Christ. And of course, when it says that hath raised him up together, of course, we understand from Scripture how Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. And the third day he was raised again. And because he was raised again, we have the promise and the guarantee that we too will rise. So I think that's what Paul's talking about here. Raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I think I said this too before. I don't recall what verse it was, but I read a verse from Scripture and said, boy, that verse says a lot. And that verse there says a lot. There's a lot of cool stuff in that verse. That in the ages to come, he, God or Jesus, might show the exceeding riches, there he uses those words again, riches, of his grace. Last time it was mercy, now it's grace. What's the next phrase? In his kindness, toward who? Toward us. God is kind. He's merciful. He's gracious. In these last couple verses, we see these things. Rich in mercy, rich in grace, kind toward us. That's awesome. Through Christ Jesus. And then the very familiar, of course, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here we have, we understand that God has quickened us. The Lord Jesus Christ quickens us through his Spirit. We are made alive. That dead spirit that's in us is brought back to life. Newness of life. Born again. Jesus reminded Nicodemus, he said, look, that which is of water is water. That which is of spirit is the spirit. Yes, there's a physical birth, the water birth. And that must take place, obviously, or else you can't have the spiritual birth. But that one takes place. But then you must have that second birth. And when that second birth takes place, that's the quickening that Paul's talking about here. And Paul goes on to tell us now that we used to, what we used to be, and then now he's telling us what we are now. We're children of God, that God extends his rich mercy toward us, his rich grace, and his infinite kindness in Christ Jesus. You like that? I just think that's amazing. And it humbles me because I say, me, Lord? Now, I spoke about varying degrees of of how we maybe were brought up prior to salvation, I was on the bad side. And so, you know, thinking back on it, I'm like, really? Me? But yeah, me. Because Ephesians chapter 2 fits anybody. This is what you were before salvation. Doesn't matter to what degree. You were a sinner. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And to whatever that means, doesn't matter. You were dead. Whether you were a liar or a murderer. In our human thinking, wow, that's worse than this. But sin is sin is sin. And so, but now God hath quickened us. Boy, that's exciting to me. So he tells us what we once were, what we are now. Right now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated with the Lord. Interesting, he doesn't say we're seated at the right hand. That's reserved for Jesus Christ. The right hand of the Father, that's the Lord's place. But we're near there with him. We're seated in those places with him. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, what about the future? What we were, what we are now. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I like the phrase about unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So when God laid all this out, I imagine that he sees us, or Paul explains what we were. He goes on to say, now here's, since you're quickened, here's what you are, where you are now. You're a child of God. You're experiencing the richness of God's mercy, the richness of his grace, the infiniteness of his kindness, and you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You have a wonderful standing. But don't just rest on that. Now, he says, look, he's let me see how he says it here. Verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I think Paul's wrapping it up now with this. He says, look, there's a reason why this is all has happened. It's more than to get you to heaven, but there's a work that God's doing in your life. He wants you now to do the good works. He wants you now to share with others this quickening message, to tell others what it's all about. And so he says that I want you to remember that we are his workmanship, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I just think, you know, if I think about what I used to be, and then compare it to what I am now. First, I would say this. I'm not what I should be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. We could all probably say that. There's always room for growth. And all of us could probably raise our hand and say, I'm really not what I should be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Man, praise the Lord for that. But with that in mind, I'm not what I should be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But praise the Lord, I still have something to look forward to and to strive for and to grow towards and to just keep moving forward towards. Because I'm his workmanship, created unto good works. You know, the word workmanship makes me think of Jeremiah with that potter, the potter's wheel. I've used that illustration before, putting that clay on the potter's wheel. And working it, and squeezing it, and shaping it, and molding it. Workmanship. The potter's making something. And God's making something with you and I. You think of the phrase, be patient with me, God's not finished yet. God's not finished with me yet. That's so true. But I want to press toward the mark. I want to look forward. I look back, I see what I used to be. Before I was quickened, before I was saved, before I was born again, I see walking after the course of this world, child of disobedience, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, a child of wrath. And then I say, thank God that he saved me. Thank God that he quickened me. Here's where I am now. I experience His grace. I experience His mercy. I experience His kindness. But I mustn't stop there. I must understand that I'm created in His workmanship. In Christ Jesus, I'm a work in progress. And I must continue to strive forward toward the mark for the prize, the calling for which God has called me to. Let's finish with that verse one there again. Let's look at it once again. You hath he quickened who were. I like the word were, because that's past tense. That's what we used to be. Were dead in trespasses and sins. And then also in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So I started this evening by saying I'm thankful for the quickening. I'm thankful that there was a time in my life when God saved me and quickened my dead spirit, as we saw Timmy lying on the floor there. This Christmas we went to see my mother, as you know, back in the West Virginia, Pennsylvania area. And I had opportunity. We stayed in Morgantown, which is where I spent a lot of time. It's where the church I'm from, pastor and I are from that church in Morgantown. And one morning we were off to my mother's on Christmas morning, and I was able to drive right by the intersection. I've told you more than once about this place. There was a busy intersection in the downtown, well, not downtown, but it's the center of campus, West Virginia University campus. Very busy intersection. And on that intersection, one corner was a Texaco gas station. And when I was going to WVU, an engineering program, I was just working a part-time job there just for spending money, put money in my pocket. And that's where God dealt with me, through a co-worker, shared the gospel with me, and God convicted my heart there. And that's a sacred spot to me, on that corner. Now, we drove by. I told my wife, get ready, I want to show you this corner, because this is where it all happened. This is where it all started. This is where God dealt in my heart. And of course, the Texaco station's no longer there. There's some dentist office or something there now, but that was the spot. Where's your spot? Where were you quickened? When were you quickened? I hope you know. And if you know the place, you know the time, then I'm hoping you're understanding that, boy, without Christ, where would I be? Where would I be without Christ? What would I be without Christ? Thank God that He quickened me. Thank God that He came into my life, brought my spirit, restored my spirit to life, and allowed me to walk in newness of life and experience. This is what I don't ever get over. And if I think on it long enough, I can just bust out crying. To experience His mercy. To experience His grace. To experience His kindness. You could say amen right here. God's good to us. Really good to us. Praise the Lord.